Okay, we're reading from the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, starting at the top of page 30, if you have a book. And if you don't, that's okay too, because I do. Maybe I'll do this. Since the introduction just began, and since you're all good students, you probably can share with me what are some of the things that have already been presented. It's a surprise quiz. Who would like to volunteer? What are some of the points that you heard so far in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita? Okay, we'll carry on. One thing. Is there one thing that you can remember? One thing. Yes. Oh. Yes. Okay. Someone else had their hand up. You can do five types of relations. Oh. What are those five? Huh? Passive. Servitorship. Friend. Parenthood. Very good. Okay. Something else? Whatever Krishna does is perfect. You're biased. Go ahead. Okay. Did you all hear that in the back? No. Krishna is perfect. And because he guides the activities of his pure devotees, the activities of his pure devotees should similarly be considered perfect. Because they can't do anything outside of Krishna's sanction. Anything else? Yes? Krishna did what? He creates and he enjoys. So he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Okay. Yes? Okay. I've noticed. Yes. Okay. The spirit of Bhagavad Gita is devotion to the Lord. Is to maintain, to deliver the mankind. Very nice. Okay, that was much better than where we started. Anyone else? Yes? Okay. Gita Upanishad, right? Wow. Okay. Okay. Five basic truths. Okay. Last one. Okay. I'm going to read two sentences from the introduction. They're maybe my favorite two sentences in the whole Bhagavad Gita purport. It's found on the bottom of page 20. I'll read it slowly. It's the beginning of the paragraph. It starts, "The Lord descends to this mortal world." Whoops. That's not it. I'll find it later. We'll do it maybe tonight or something. There's no time. Okay. Top of page 30. Modern man has struggled very hard to reach the moon, but he has not tried very hard to elevate himself spiritually. If one has 50 years of life ahead of him, he should engage that brief time in cultivating this practice of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This practice is the devotional process. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Bhagavatam 7523. These nine processes, of which the easiest is Shravanam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the realized person, will turn one to the thought of the Supreme Being. This will lead to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one upon leaving the body to attain a spiritual body, which is just fit for association with the Supreme Lord. Paragraph. The Lord further says, oh, here's our Bhagavad Gita verse from last night. Abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati partanu chintayan. He who meditates upon me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, O Arjuna, he is sure to reach me. Bhagavad Gita 8.8. This is not a very difficult process. I hope you've noticed. However, one must learn it from an experienced person. Tad viganartam sagurum eva begachchet. One must approach a person who is already in the practice. The mind is always flying to this and that, but one must practice concentrating the mind always on the form of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, or on the sound of his name. The mind is naturally restless, going hither and thither, but it can rest in the sound vibration of Krishna. One must thus meditate on Paramam Purusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual sky, and thus attain him. The ways and the means for ultimate realization, ultimate attainment, are stated in the Bhagavad Gita, and the doors of this knowledge are open for everyone. No one is barred out. All classes of men can approach Lord Krishna by thinking of him, for hearing and thinking of him are possible for everyone. The Lord further says, Bhagavad Gita 9:32-33, Mamhi partavya pyashritya ye pisyu papayo nayaha striya vaishastata shudras tepiyanti param gatim kim bunar brahmana punya bhakta rajasayas tata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajashvamam. Thus the Lord says that even a merchant, a fallen woman, or a laborer, or even human beings in the lowest status of life can attain the supreme. One does not need highly developed intelligence. The point is that anyone who accepts the principle of bhakti yoga and accepts the supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life, as the highest target, the ultimate goal, can approach the Lord in the spiritual sky. If one adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all the problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. In conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita shastram idam punyam ya patet prayatak puman. If one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. Bhaya shokadi varjitaha. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. Gita Mahatmya, number 1. So here, we'll just summarize. 10:30, 10:45? Excuse me. 11:30, 11:45? Sometime, okay. These are summary and leading up to concluding words in this 33-page purport, introduction to Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada wants the reader to be inspired, and before reading the text of Bhagavad Gita, be inspired to appreciate its value. And one of the first paragraph that we read, is making a contrast between one of the things that people governments spend so much money, and money represents the fruits of labor. So much of the labor and the fruits of labor are spent towards trying to reach the moon. And you know what Prabhupada said about reaching the moon. They have not gone there, and even if they have gone there, what do they say that they found a handful of dust? Millions and millions and millions of millions. It's like crores and crores of the fruits of one's work. For what? For nothing. To reach the conclusion, there is no life. Because part of the idea of going there is to colonize, Prabhupada explained. The Europeans sent people here and there and around the world to colonize. What's the purpose of colonization? To exploit the resources and build up their economy. Because the program is economic development. You need resources. So you go here, go there, take the resources, see you guys later, we're building our empire. Well, they're running out of resources, so let's find some new places. Let's try the moon. Colonize the moon. Put in your flag and say it belongs to this country, that country. So the resources are ours because our ship landed there first. Oh, it's no good. There's only dust. There's no resources. In the name of, science, expanding the knowledge of mankind, of the universe. It's not about that. It's about exploitation of resources. So much time and energy and money spent in going to the moon. What about beyond this life, besides the enhancing the resources and facilities of this life? What about beyond this life? Who's making that preparation? How much time and energy is spent in spiritual development? So that's his argument, that spiritual development should be given attention by thoughtful persons. And then he presents the verse by Prahlad Maharaj to his father, his beloved Hiranyakashipu, about the processes of devotional service. And they're especially made simple by the process of hearing. I mean, hearing is something we do all the time, and so it's not difficult. It's difficult because the mind is restless and doesn't want to hear spiritual topics. It wants to hear the other kind. Then people can be very active and very animated and spend lots of money to go hear some other topics, but spiritual topics. Not the same level of interest. And from the process of hearing, you hear what follows hearing? Kirtanam. You vibrate that sound, and you hear, and you vibrate, and hear, and that vibrate. And the dormant consciousness of the soul begins to awaken. And it's so remembrance, not memorization, like sloka memorization, but remembering a dormant consciousness that's within. And then that remembrance, awakening of beginning stages, the awakening of remembrance, turns into a steady state of remembering the Supreme Lord. And when that takes place, and you remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death, then you're awarded a spiritual body. You can directly associate with the Lord in the spiritual sky. That's the very simple presentation that's being made of, instead of planning to go to the moon, plan to go to Krishna Loka. And spend valuable time and resource, human intelligence, human consciousness, in that direction. And it's not fanciful, it's substantial. Next paragraph, Prabhupada is addressing the always remembering me. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamino, without deviation. Always thinking of Krishna. It's possible by the process of hearing and awakening that dormant consciousness that's innate and is already there, and then that remembrance of Krishna takes place. But for that to happen, one requires one who is carrying that consciousness, or one requires guidance in the form of a spiritual master who is vibrating such sound vibrations. And then one can hear. The process of hearing requires a vibration, or a source of vibration. When one is in that situation, Prabhupada explains there's this mind factor. The mind, he says, is flying here and there, chanchala. Very unsteady, flickering. Likened to a prostitute. Very unsteady. Sometimes here, sometimes there. Not at all chaste. Sometimes here, sometimes there. And that's just the nature of the materially conditioned mind, as is the nature of a prostitute. So the mind is meant to become chaste. And it takes some time and some training to bring the mind from that unchaste to the chaste position, or the uncontrolled or flickering position, to the directed and controlled position. And That's made possible by hearing properly, hearing the proper sound vibration and hearing, at least trying to hear with attention. Because that sound vibration, spiritual sound vibration, is none different than Krishna, one is immediately brought in contact with Krishna by that hearing. If the transmitting source, the spiritual master, or the person representing Krishna, is speaking proper sound vibration, or one is repeating that sound vibration in a proper manner, then it's immediate contact. Even we're unqualified and the mind is flickering, we're brought in contact with that which is pure, because Krishna is absolute, and that sound vibration is none different than Him. And that's the means that is presented here for coming to that very high stage that's spoken of. Sometimes when devotees, they express, the goal is so high and we're down here. So describing the goal is not to discourage you, thinking, oh, what's the use, I'm way down here. But it's to inspire you, because it's so wonderful. And as presented, the means is very simple. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be born in a certain family. You don't have to have big intelligence. You just have to be able to hear. And one who can hear faithfully and embrace the principle, whatever one's capacity is, endowments from Krishna are, whatever one's past pious, impious makeup is, and corresponding endowments from Krishna, it's doesn't matter. If they could play somewhere else, that would be really nice. And to support that idea, Prabhupada quotes 9:32 Bhagavad Gita. Striyo vaishas tata shudras tepiyanti param gatim. The supreme destination can be attained from any position. Not high position by birth, but from any position by birth. And that qualification is the same principles just spoken. One hears from a qualified person. And in that process of hearing, the important things that mentioned are to accept the principle that, what was it? Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the creator and he's the enjoyer, and therefore he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Which is very simple. But then one should live one's life that way. Not say that and still try to be the little enjoyer. But live one's life accordingly. Or that's what the Bhakti Yoga principle is. It's taking whatever it is that we're in contact with and recognizing Krishna as the proprietor of it, and therefore Krishna is the enjoyer of it, and therefore we're meant to serve Krishna through whatever we're in touch with. And not to covet or wish to possess that which we don't have contact with, so we can have a greater facility for enjoyment. That's not the program. Whatever it is that we have, that Krishna has provided or presented before us, we see how that can be used in Krishna's service. That's Bhakti Yoga. And that he is the Parama Purusha. That's the verse. Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Parthanu Chintayan. When we're always thinking of Krishna, it's thinking of Krishna in that way. And it's very, very practical. One doesn't have to be a great yogi. And, you know, in the Ashtanga Yoga sense of being a great yogi. But in the devotional sense, one has to be recognize all things belong to Krishna, because he's the creator. He's therefore also the enjoyer. And so Everything is meant for his enjoyment, including us and our activity. So let our activity be for Krishna's enjoyment. And then we're able to think of Krishna in everything that we do. And everything that we do. And if it's not in relation to Krishna, we don't do. That simple. We don't do. We just don't have any interest in it. Even the world that we're in is filled with all that other stuff. I mean, from I spent almost 2 weeks in Bombay. And from the time that I came close to Bombay and leaving Bombay, it's, you know, the energy is a whole other energy. It's fashion and Bollywood and, you know, music and da-da-da-da-da-da. And even the people that come to the temple, it's da-da-da-da-da. It's at the temple. Wow, very challenging. And the whole atmosphere is surcharged with that. Money and fashion and music and boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop. And all their heroes and stars and, you know, and then they come to the temple. And by the tens and hundreds of thousands, dressed the same way that, you know, I don't get it, frankly. I mean, even in America, when it was, you know, small boy growing up, people, I guess maybe it's different now, but you didn't go to the place of worship dressed like you're, you know, casual, dressed like, you know, whatever. And then, oh, let's go to the place of worship, just dressed like whatever. And but they're doing it, like, by the droves. Huh? Something's missing here. Anyway. So, an acceptance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to act accordingly. Otherwise, you're not accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's something else going on. It's investing in your punya account so you can prosper more, so you can enjoy more in this life and go to heaven. That's what it's about. So there's some elements within the Bhagavad Gita that are meant to be heard and then received and then accepted. And then once you accept it, you act accordingly. So things that are inappropriate, they just disappear, and things that are to be done, they appear. One's life transforms by proper contact with the message of Bhagavad Gita. And as Prabhupada is saying here, it's a permanent solution. It's not like a little adjustment so it's a little bit better. It's a permanent arrangement. It's spiritual. It's on the platform of the soul. It's, you get a spiritual body. A siddha deha, spiritually perfected soul achieving that spiritual form, and go to Krishna. And he says this is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Then the last paragraph, in conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which is to be read and heard and studied very carefully. Why? So he quotes the Gita Mahatmya. Because by following it, all miseries and all anxieties of material existence are finished. Permanently. And all fears, one transcends, one goes beyond. And eternal life, the door of eternal life is opened. Just from this wonderful Bhagavad Gita. So, one should, in other words, Prabhupada isn't enthusing his audience, the readers of Bhagavad Gita's introduction, to read attentively and appreciate the opportunity that's being provided by the translation of Bhagavad Gita and the discussion of its topics. Okay, we have a few minutes for some discussion. Yes, any comments or thoughts? Do we have a microphone? Sure. Do we have another microphone, or do we just speak loud? Hare Krishna. The main thing that's required is effort to do so. It's not like there's some technique, some esoteric teaching that's being withheld. It's the main thing is making the effort to do so. Whatever those things are that you do understand, they resonate, it makes sense, apply it. And what will happen when you do that? Ooh, you get some realization. And what happens when you get some realization? Your faith is nurtured. And what happens when your faith is nurtured? You want to go back to that Bhagavad Gita message and hear some more. It continues, and you hear some more with greater faith. And ooh, I just heard something that I didn't hear before, although I heard the passage. I didn't hear that message before, and it really resonates. And like the other things that I practically applied, let me take that to the laboratory of my life and apply it. And when you act in knowledge, you get realization. And when you get realization, it increases your faith. And when your faith is increased, you want to go back and hear further. So it's a gradual cycle of purification, but it starts with proper hearing and then applying that which you have heard, which you have understood, in a practical way. Now, your question specifically was, how do we apply those things that we've understood? And my reply is, it's not some special technique of how to apply as much as the endeavor to do so. As much as possible, you take guidance from those who are experienced devotees. How to do so. The greater shortage is not the availability of qualified people to guide us. The shortage is we're lazy and we don't apply things. It's not pointing to you, it's just describing the situation of Kali Yuga. Manda sumanda matayo, we're lazy. Spiritually, especially. Materially, a little more active. But spiritually lazy. As long as we're comfortable, there's not a lot of pain, we're okay. And it's not okay, but the complacency sets in. And then we start to feel some pain, and then we start to become a little more attentive. And try to apply things. Commonly, you know, that's a standard pattern. So the advice I have to offer is go beyond that pain, relief from pain cycle and come to another platform, which is accepting Krishna as the goal of life and acting accordingly. And as best you can, apply those things that you understand. And guidance will be there from within and from without, from scripture, from persons, from super soul. Guidance will be there. We're already, I mean, particularly for devotees, we're in the association of devotees. persons that are sincere in the process of devotional service, and their association will help us. And particular persons who we have as those who are guiding us in our devotional life. Turn to those persons for guidance. Well, without the heart being open, how can you even hear? Confirmed. What you've had the experience, we've all had the experience. We're having a conversation with somebody and by the way that they're responding, they didn't hear anything. There's various ways they can exhibit that they haven't heard anything, but they haven't heard anything. So it's the beginning of hearing. Someone else had their hand up? Anything on the ladies' side? How much time it takes to awaken dormant consciousness? Prabhupada's answer to that question was less than a moment. You've heard this before. Swamiji, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada's immediate reply, less than a moment. And in that less than a moment, two things. Give up sense gratification and give up the tendency for mental speculation. Less than a moment. Then Prabhupada paused and said, because most people are addicted to these things, therefore the process of devotional service is gradual. So how gradual depends upon how much attached we are to sense gratification and mental speculation. And if we're willing to let go, less than a moment. The potency is there in the process of devotional service itself. Krishna is directly Anything else? It's time to end. Yes. 10:35. Giant. Yes. You've answered your own question. Is speculation speculation? Yeah. It's a spirit of independence. On my own, I'm going to discover or discern that which is unknown right now. As opposed to depending on descending knowledge, it's relying on one's own capacity. So one agitates the mind. And by speculation, the extending or expanding or imagining within the mind something, then maybe perhaps it is like this. Prabhupada likens speculation, mental speculation, the search for God. The Vedanta Society has as their motto, search for God, search for Brahman. He says it's like taking a, you say torch, we say flashlight, and looking for the sun. I know it's here somewhere. But the sun is not understood by that method. It's self-luminous. Not by one's own little lamp, I'm going to find the sun. So whatever one comes up with by that other methodology is not what the sun is. But for those who are addicted to that process, they think, aha, I've found the sun, I've found the truth. And then they write a book about it, or form a religion about it, or become a professor and teach it in college, or something like that. Write books. Very small handwriting. How to maintain consistent enthusiasm and determination to practice hearing and chanting and accountability. So how do we maintain consistent enthusiasm? By being pure. Novel idea. Because that's the natural state of the soul. And when there's impurity, we're inspired by something fruitive. I want something. And so I'm enthusiastic to get that something. And if I don't get that something, I lose my enthusiasm. If I get that something, I lose my enthusiasm because I got that something. So I don't have any fuel in my tank anymore. So one has to replace the tendency of fruitive spirit with accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because otherwise we'll be unsteady in our enthusiasm. Anishtita bhakti. It's impurity of heart. So to get to the steady stage, one has to pass the impurities of heart. And when that purity is there, then there's steadiness. Removal of impurities is the program. The removal of impurities is through the process of sadhana. Right? Vajana kriya. Devotional practice, devotional activity. And even that means even if there's some obstacle or it just seems to be not happening or it's happening very slowly or one of those things. Maharaj, I don't seem to be making very much advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because we're holding on. Or our contaminations are very deep and strong. So what do? You continue practicing. With doubled enthusiasm. In Satya Yuga, there was no sense gratification. Where's this from scripture? As long as there's a body, there's senses. And the senses contacting sense object, there's sense gratification. It's not like in Satya Yuga they didn't have bodies. They had bodies. Their disposition was towards the Supreme, but they wouldn't receive a body if there wasn't some tendency for sense gratification. So there's the premise is not accurate. Oh, so if they're in such an elevated state in Satyuga, why did it take longer to become self-realized or achieve spiritual perfection? If they're already in a higher position, why did it take longer? I guess that's the idea. Well, in this age, it's quite rare, if you haven't noticed, it's quite rare to achieve spiritual perfection. There are persons that are doing something, and even, you know, amongst our own membership, there are persons that are making spiritual progress, but to say that someone has attained the stage of perfection is quite rare. So let's take Valmiki, you know, 60,000 years of meditation. Wow, that's a lot of meditation. But we're speaking now of spiritual perfection. Or Sobari Muni, because his meditation was interrupted by, he was meditating underwater and he saw the male and a female fish interacting with one another. And his mind became agitated, his meditation broke. He had to start all over again from zero. Wow. And if we had to do that, wow. So we're because it's Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord is making some special dispensation for us in the form of Lord Chaitanya's mercy in particular, the chanting of the holy name, and particularly his mercy by engaging unqualified persons, otherwise unqualified, in that process, just by his mercy. Therefore, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Tushe Namaha. Because he's most munificent, he's making the process of approaching the stage of perfection so easy and approachable and accessible to all. Mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Wow, this is really small. Sometimes I'm getting hurt by the actions or speech of other devotees. Theoretically, I know that I should not something. The center, Krishna, should be the center. How to act on it practically? Well, you start in sequence, depending upon where you are. The first of the sequence is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. You tolerate. Tongues to tick. And why? On what basis should you tolerate? You recognize that this thing that's feeling hurtful, it has nothing to do with me. It's just the senses and the sense objects interacting. It's the swirling of the material energy, and it's not me. So, at least in theory, detachment based upon knowledge. Detachment based upon knowledge. And when you're practicing that detachment based upon knowledge, it's not just a matter of gritting your teeth and bearing it because I'm supposed to bear it. But you place your consciousness elsewhere. You place your consciousness in Sat, in Krishna's holy name, in the instructions that you've heard and tried to carry them out and so forth. But 2 summers ago, I attended 3 Rath Yatras in a row, and as a result, so much sun that some rash started to appear on my skin and my arms. So I was concerned because I heard that there's such a thing as skin cancer. So I wanted to find out, what is this? So I went to a dermatologist, a skin specialist. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And so he had me sit in one of his rooms. And there's all this stuff on the wall, trivia stuff, like gobs and different varieties of trivia stuff. And this, you know, well-educated, kind of famous doctor. So when he finally came around to come in to see me, I asked him, you know, what's all this stuff about? He said, oh, through the course of my practice, I've come to understand that people's mind is on something else. They won't even think about the pain that they have because their mind is on something else. And then when I have to treat them, it's easier. So it doesn't even have to be Krishna, just something else. So what to speak if that's something else is Krishna. So to get relief from the disturbances of material existence, then we withdraw our mind from the material and place our mind upon the spiritual. So if there's something that somebody says that's hurtful, just, you know, think of something nice. Or think of Krishna. Withdraw from the asat and place and by knowledge and detachment. That's the beginning. Or just follow an instruction. If you can't follow an instruction, then you're on your own. You're just, you know, being tossed around like a small piece of wood in the ocean. And wherever, whichever way the waves go, that's where you go. But no one can take shelter of something. Shelter of knowledge. Or, and with knowledge, detachment. Or an instruction. And you tolerate. And place your attention in that which is eternal. Just, you know, go read Bhagavad Gita. Someone said something disturbing. Just go to your Bhagavad Gita, open up Bhagavad Gita and start reading. And Krishna will speak to you. And then you'll be in that state, you'll be receptive. What does Krishna have to say? Or chant. Anyway. Then there's stages of going beyond. If someone speaks something very hurtful, step out of your own autobiography and think, what is that person experiencing that they're doing something that is perhaps even deliberately causing pain and suffering to another person? Like in this case, it's me, but the next person in their path of life is going to be the next person and the next person and the next person. So they're suffering. How much suffering that person is undergoing? To say and do something so hurtful. What can be done to help that person? That's compassion. And when you're in a empathetic or compassionate mood, what's important is your position as servant unto Krishna and servant unto those who are part and parcel of Krishna. That's who you are. Instead of a false ego that wants people to say things nice and doesn't want people to say things not nice. You just take the spiritual conception of your real identity and work with that. But that depends on one's level of spiritual advancement. Two more and then we're going to end. Yeah, we're already past time. How do we develop taste for hearing and love for Krishna? That's a short question. I'll give a short answer. Srinvatasu katha Krishna punya shravana kirtana vidyantakstoya badrani vidhunoti suritsutam. Next question. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the medicine that cures that disease condition of material life. So hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I'm going to end there. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.